Well, we call this the tribulation is at the door. And this was a revelation given to Eve Brast on the 27th of last month. And this dream is a confirmation to the previous dream, which we shared. It was called, It's Time to Gather into the Ark. And in that dream, Eve's father's mobile home was the Ark. It was a temporary tabernacle, right? Like a mobile home is. A mobile temporary tabernacle, which is what they needed in the wilderness, right? Very interesting. And the command that was given to Eve as a type of the bride was, it's time to gather into the ark. And as you know, Eve was the bride of the first Adam, and Eve here is a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And she, who's gathering into the father's mobile home, was a type of Noah and his family gathering into the ark. And you'll notice that the command was given at the beginning of the 7 days, which represents the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years of the tribulation. And it will take the 7 days / years to get everybody into the ark. Genesis 7:1 is our type here. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee seven and seven, and the male and his female, and the beasts are not that are not clean to the male and his female. Of the birds also of the heavens, seven and seven, male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Of course, we know that in Peter's revelation, sheep came down out of heaven with all the animals on it, and the Lord said, rise, kill, and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has entered my mouth. And the Lord said, look, what I've made clean, don't you make unclean. And then the Lord revealed to him that the clean and unclean animals were the Gentiles, the beasts that were made clean, right? Amen. And the verse goes on. Verse 4 says, for yet 7 days. So the Lord is standing here at the beginning of the 7 days with Noah. And he's saying, for yet 7 days. Meaning that Noah didn't know when the beginning of the 7 days was until the beginning. And we will not know the day nor the hour until then. When that happens, we'll be able to count to the day and the hour. If you go to our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, you'll see that very clearly. And for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. Notice we got grace this time by the rainbow. But there'll still be a great destruction. It just won't be totally destroyed by water, right? And notice that after the 7 day years, the flood of wrath came upon the wicked. And it will be far greater than the tribulation. Because it is a judgment on the wicked. It's not a trial for the righteous. It's a judgment on the wicked. There's a difference between the trib and the wrath. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And he also carried over into this dream below, which is Eve's dream, the 10-year-old Israeli girl with the turban headdress that was one of her family members in the ark dream. And this connects the two dreams. So we're going to start with some scripture here. Jeremiah 30, 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will turn again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. You know, God's people are captive to the beast, the old flesh, the man of the world, the Egyptian that that was drowned in the Red Sea, etc., etc. He will turn again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers. In other words, we're going to dwell on the promises of God, the promised land. And they shall possess it. And these are the words the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling. Let me say this about the Judah and Israel. They are types. Everything that happened to them was for our admonition upon the ends of the ages, and that was spoken to the Gentiles. So they were always a type of the church. And I'll share what that is in a few minutes. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Sounds silly unless you know it's a parable, right? Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? In other words, bearing the fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is coming in us by his word and his spirit. The first fruits of these, of course, will be the man-child ministry. And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Praise the Lord. Jacob was, of course, Israel, and represents the church in tribulation. The Old Testament Israel is a spiritual type of New Testament born-again Israel who is circumcised in heart, not in flesh. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his, that is, the beast's, yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more make him their bondman. In other words, they will no longer be ruled over by apostate leaders. That's what's happening to the church. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. In other words, this is a reformer ministry that is coming. It's Jesus manifested in the David man-child ministry, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O Jacob my servant, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. In other words, captivity to the beastly world. Coming out of the nations and going back to Israel. That was his promise. We're coming out of the world and coming into our land, our promised land. We are one nation under God. Spiritual, born-again Israel. Not America. And Jacob shall return and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, for I will make a full end of the nations whither I have scattered thee. See, we're coming out of the nations. You thought you were a part of the nation that you live in, but you're not. You're a part of the one holy nation, which is God's people. But I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will in no wise leave thee unpunished. Now Eve's dream, she said, I dreamed that I was standing in the living room of my father's old mobile home, where we currently live. And she says this represents standing in faith in our mobile tabernacle in the wilderness tribulation. I agree, that's what that mobile home represents. As you know, they took the tabernacle through the wilderness. It had to be mobile. So, and our bodies, by the way, are going to be that tabernacle that's going to carry the presence of God through this coming wilderness for 7 days. I'll share that in a few minutes. We're going to dwell in this temporary mobile temple or tabernacle of this body for 7 more days. And that's it, folks. Leviticus 23, 39 through 44 says, Howbeit, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest. On the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take you on the first day the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord for 7 days in the year. That's the 70th week of Daniel, by the way. It's Jacob's trouble. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall keep it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths or tabernacles, whichever your Bible says, 7 days. And that is the 70th week of Daniel. And it represents the last 7 years. And all that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths or tabernacles, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt. We're coming out of the land of Egypt to go into the wilderness. We're coming out of this world and out of these nations to go into the wilderness. That wilderness is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and according to Revelation 17. Into the wilderness tribulation for 7 days/years. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the set feasts of the Lord. And by the way, on the 8th day, because there's not 7 days, that's what the theologians have missed. There's 8 days. The 8th day is also a year. And on the 8th day, they tore down the temporary tabernacle and they went to their permanent house or body. Their permanent body. And that's in heaven. Amen. I'll share with you about the 8th day in a minute. I was facing east towards the front room of the mobile home. And she said, this represents, we've learned this from the past, this represents having our eyes on the coming of Jesus. He's coming from the east, right? The Son of God, who is the light of the world. Having our eyes continually on His coming in us enables us to come into His likeness so that we can abide in the ark of safety and the rest. You know, saints, the Lord is coming in those who believe the gospel. There's an epiphany before the parousia. Before the physical coming of the Lord, there is a spiritual coming of the Lord, as the Bible teaches. The epiphany is the shining forth from His people, the glory of God, the coming of Jesus in His people. Then, of course, at the end, He comes for His people. The first fruits of these people will be the man-child ministry to lead God's people into the wilderness tribulation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. There's that glory shining forth from the saints who behold in a mirror Jesus, which is saying the same thing Paul said. It's no longer I live, it's Christ that lives in me. That is by faith in what happened at the cross. And Ezekiel 43:1-9 says, afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. This is how he's coming. He's coming manifesting in his glory in his people. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Shebar. And I fell on my face. You know, Ezekiel was a type of the man-child. He was caught up to the throne of God. He was sent to the people of God who were in captivity, etc., etc. And he went to the river Shebar to the people that were of the captivity. And he said, I fell on my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house. Oh, praise the Lord! By the way of the gate, whose prospect is towards the east. And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know what's going to happen through the tribulations, folks? The anointing of the latter rain is going to fill the house. And I heard one speaking unto me out of the house, and a man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. What is the place of his throne? That building over there somewhere that they're thinking about building? Nah. the sanctified body of Jesus Christ, and the individual believer. This is his throne. And the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Forever. Not a building. Forever. The eternal body of Christ. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name. Well, that's never happened, so this has to be in the future. Neither they nor their kings by their whoredom and by the dead bodies of their kings in their high places. I'll tell you what the Lord told me about this. The denominational idolatry with their perceived founders. They claim Wesley, they claim Moody, they claim Luther, etc., etc., etc. Well, these people aren't God anyway. They were reformers that came to restore certain parts of truth to the body. And then people who claimed them totally perverted themselves, but they still claim them. So, but they got idols. Their idols are these men. And then they're setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost besides my doorpost. In other words, their religious leaders are not God. That's what he's trying to say. What are you propping him up for next to me for, right? And there was but the wall between me and them, and they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed. Wherefore, I have consumed them in mine anger. Oh, the church has gone through such misery, saints, such misery. A great falling away, not realizing who they are or what they've been called to do or who they are in God, right? Now let them put away their whoredom and their dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Oh, great promise. Praise be to God. Come, Lord Jesus, right? Yes, come in the parousia, but come, Lord Jesus, come in your people in the epiphany and the shining forth from, right? He's got to come in his people before he can come in person, because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Either Christ is manifested in you, or you got no place in heaven. Right? And then Eve goes on. She says, the sun, I believe representing the sun, S-O-N, the sun was shining through a light-colored, thick-woven curtain that was hanging from the north-facing living room window to my left. And she said, the sun shines on this curtain in the temporary dwelling place that we abide in. She went back to the dream. She said, suddenly I was aware of a rumbling sound. This sounded like an earthquake, not a tornado. So we know this because we've had many dreams about an earthquake coming just before the tribulation to kind of set the stage. So, just before the tribulation will come, I believe a swarm of earthquakes as a sign of the coming of the Lord in his man-child ministry of Revelation 12. Revelation 8 and 5 says, and the angel taketh the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar. And, of course, the prayers of the saints, right? And cast it upon the earth, and there followed thunders. Get this, thunders and voices and lightnings and an earthquake. Okay, so that happened. And then comes this. And the seven angels that had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Oh, the seven trumps of tribulation. And before the first trump, what happens? An earthquake. And verse 7 says, and the first trump. There it is, the first trump of tribulation. Sounded, the first year of tribulation, sounded. Okay, I believe that what we're going to see here as we go on is a spiritual worldwide battle against spiritual Jerusalem. Now, this has been going on. There's been a persecution against the true saints of God, the true sanctified people, the bride of Christ. And it's a demonic battle. We've been warned about it. We've been watching it. And we've been feeling the brunt of it. A spiritual worldwide battle against spiritual Jerusalem, just as the dragon sought to devour the man-child and take the bride of Jerusalem, this will be thwarted at this time, at the time of this earthquake. And he's given us many verses. Well, one of them I picked out here, Isaiah 29 and 6. She shall be visited. She here is Zion, the bride. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. There it is. And great noise. And a whirlwind and a tempest and a flame of devouring fire. I think these may be the worst earthquakes America, well, there is no doubt that these will be the worst earthquakes that America has ever experienced. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that Ariel is the Lion of God, and in this text it is described as Zion, even all that fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be as a dream and a vision of the night. In other words, that's going to be the end of it. God is coming to judge. This is also the time of the resurrection of the man-child ministry, just as Jesus was resurrected and there was a great earthquake. And we've received that text too many times concerning this. And it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, and he awaketh, and his soul is empty. The dragon who seeks to devour the man-child in Revelation 12, just before the tribulation. Go and read it. You'll find out. The woman goes into the wilderness at the beginning of the 7 years. It tells you there plainly. So this is the dragon that sought to devour the man-child and take the bride. But it says, or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, and he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. In other words, they tried but failed to devour the man-child. This is happening around the world. It's happening now, saints. There's a persecution against the people that are getting prepared to bring God's people into the wilderness. But I also looked in the direction towards that window and saw, in other words, just towards this window of the coming of the sun, along with the coming of the sun and his man-child is something else, the coming of the tribulation. So listen. I also looked in the direction towards that window and saw the shadows of the leaves of a very great large tree blowing around in the turbulence of great winds. And I believe this is the judgment on America of earthquakes. And by the way, these earthquakes I don't think are going to stop at America. I think we're going to have a bunch of them around the world at this time. We've received in dreams this happening before. Earthquakes, large earthquakes around the world. So, and it has happened before, but not on this scale. She said, I thought in the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's tree. And this is the tree in Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel gave the interpretation to. It resented him and his kingdom of Babylon. So the tree will be shaken, blown around by the turbulence of this coming tribulation. How do I know it's tribulation? Well, listen. Then the shadows of the leaves of this tree were replaced by the shadow of a large, very tall tornado pillar that was right outside the window. And she puts in parentheses, the tribulation is at the door, and I agree with that. I went over and pulled the curtain back, and everything outside was gray with storm clouds. The tree had disappeared, and this thick, very dark tornado pillar from the north was spinning in its place right outside the window. Okay, so the Father is sending judgment to Babylon, and it will start very soon. And this tornado represents the first year of the tribulation. And that's what Eve believed, and that's what I believe. So, Daniel 4, 10 through 18 says, thus were the visions of my head upon my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of all of the earth. This is Babylon. This is Babylonish America. Ezekiel 17 calls it the Great Eagle, just as the Great Eagle today is America. Babylon was called the Great Eagle. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all. And of course, America has fed the world, not as much as further back when it was more decent. But anyway, the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the birds of the heavens dwelt in the branches thereof, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, and he cried aloud, and he said thus, "Hew down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it." And I think you're going to see that the beasts, which Daniel calls the nations, you know, are not going to be under it so much. They're going to go their own way. And the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. A time, of course, is a year, so we're talking about 7 years, that the leadership of Babylonish America will be mad and be devouring grass, you know. And, of course, that all flesh is as grass. They're going to be devouring flesh. I believe it may be in two ways. First of all, it will be in a war, a great war, a world war. They'll devour much flesh, and also the people of God. They're going to devour the flesh of the people of God. America, at the head of the world beast, is going to persecute Christianity. Whoa, all you God and country people out there, you ain't going to like that. But you're going to change your mind, and you won't have this idol of America standing up next to God. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the lowest or the basest of men. Yep, you think you're voting politicians in. You think they're working for you, but you're wrong. They're working for the God of this world, and they're working for the God of heaven, who is using the God of this world and these men to bring God's people into persecution, where they will repent and turn back to God. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. And thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation, for as much as all the wise men of the kingdom were not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. And of course, we know that Daniel, as a type of the man-child, knew the revelation of this. And the beastly world did not, neither did the beastly church. And it went on to say that he ate the grass of the field for the seven times, which is the flesh of God's people. For Peter said, all flesh is as grass. I then hurried to the eastward facing window in the forwardmost room of the mobile home. I pulled the string to the evergreen colored blinds that were on the east window. And she said, this room in real life is our study and where I listen to the UBM Bible studies. The desk and computer sit under this window and also caused me to face east when sitting at the desk. And she shared a couple of words here. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands, even as we charged you. Well, amen. Okay, I'm going to continue on with her dream. I'm not putting everything in this dream. It's rather long, and I couldn't get it into this hour. So, but I'm going to put the most important parts in there. But you can read it on the site. As I pulled the string to the evergreen colored blinds that were on the east window and saw six more very tall tornado pillars, each a little further in the distance than the one before it. So she's looking out the front of her mobile tabernacle, and there's the first tornado, and then there's the second, and the third, all of them going further into the distance. That means the seven tornadoes representing the coming 7 years of tribulation. And they were staggered in a zigzag pattern so that I could see each one clearly. They were very tall and thin, like pillars. And, you know, they were led by the pillar of cloud into the wilderness. Were they not? And it reached up to the heavens. So this pillar went up into the heavens as far as I could see. And Matthew 24 and 22 says, "And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened." Well, how can they be shortened? They've already been prophesied. Well, I'll explain that to you. It says, you know, the elect's sake, the ark will lift off, but the rest of the world will feel the wrath of God in the year-long great and terrible day of the Lord, which comes after the 7 years. As were the days of Noah. There were 7 days, and then the seventh day, there was a year-long period called the flood. Go figure it out. It was one of their years. Okay, and Isaiah 34 and 8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." Notice it's a day that's a year. Every tribulation year represents a day in Daniel's 70th week. And there's an eighth day. This is Isaiah 34 and 8. This is the eighth day. And it's for the cause of Zion. Because the world has made war against Zion through this time, and God's going to judge them for it. This is the wrath that many people think they're going to escape. They think it's the tribulation. It isn't the tribulation. It's the wrath that comes after the tribulation. It's the eighth day. These tornadoes represent the other 6 years in succession of tribulation judgment to follow the first, and they will destroy worldwide Babylon. I want to tell you, Babylon will be at the head of the nations, a new world order coming down the pike here, but it's going to constantly be struck, until at the end the nations are going to come against Babylon, that is America, and bring destruction to her. She said the desk and computer in the study were transparent in the dream, and the cork board was not over the window. And the bride will be able to see into the future, symbolized by the transparency of the physical, to the time of the coming of the Lord. I want to tell you, this won't happen until the beginning of the tribulation period. I'll explain that to you. She said, "So I was able to easily go to the window to look out, because I could walk right through the desk and the computer." Okay, Ezekiel 46, 1 through 10 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the gate of the inner court that looketh towards the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath day it shall be opened, and on the day of the new moon it shall be opened, and the prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate." So, she says, those who study to show themselves approved will have eyes to see and ears to hear, and will clearly see what is coming ahead, because they partake of the spiritual food, which is the Word of God. Now we know that no man knoweth, that's present tense, the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord. They don't know it now. But when the tribulation starts, at the first tornado, we will be able to count the days until Jesus is coming. For they are counted in Noah's days and Daniel's days, and they are the same number. If you want to do a study on this, you can go to our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, and you will clearly see this. No man knoweth, present tense, knoweth. But that's not true. because we in the future, because we know, we don't know until the tribulation starts. When it starts, we'll be able to count. We have the numbers. They're written twice in the scriptures. The sky was also filled with very dark storm clouds. The tornado pillars were tearing up a huge metropolis of tall buildings and skyscrapers that our mobile home was floating above. This represents living above the curse, abiding in heavenly places in the ark of Christ. Also, the towers and the skyscrapers represent worldwide Babylon. You remember Babylon was divided in the beginning? It was one world, and it's going to be divided again. I looked down towards the base of all these skyscrapers and saw all the people running around down on the streets of the metropolis in confusion and fear. And we know confusion is the meaning of the word Babylon. And God will once again confound the language of the world in order to destroy their one world Babylonish order. Not understanding one another will cause a great world war very quickly, as we see in the seal judgments. The first one is the man-child ministry coming on the earth, and the second one is war. The things that have been are the things that shall be, the Bible says. So if we go back and look, we can find out what's going to happen. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see their one world order, their city, and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do, and now nothing will be withholden of them, which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore was the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now they want to come back together and build their tower again. Guess what's going to happen? Things that have been are the things that shall be. There'll be war. And after I looked out both of these windows, my family members, who were children living in the mobile home with me, were alerted and aware that something bad was happening outside, that is, outside the ark. The 10-year-old Israeli girl with the turban headdress from my previous dream, it's time to gather into the ark, who had been standing in the living room with me, asked, what's happening? Could be that this is talking about a 10-year-old, an immature Christian, the Israeli girl, immature Christian. Turban headdresses could symbolize, the old man, the Esau's that fight against the Christians, you know. People are losing that mind in the tribulation period. That's what's going to happen. She said, what's happening? I said, nothing. It has begun, meaning the beginning of tribulation. Just pray. I must go and pray and intercede. I said nothing because I didn't want to cast down the child's faith and also to encourage her that we were all perfectly safe. And Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he dedicated for us, a new and a living way, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Well, through the crucifixion of his flesh he entered in, and through the crucifixion of your flesh you will enter in too. But it's by faith in what he did, right? And having a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful, it promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. I then went back to the very back room of the mobile home where my son Noah sleeps. Yep, his name is Noah. This represents the least who become the greatest. I believe that, the back of the mobile home. On Ephesians 3 and 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints was this grace given, to preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is true of the man-child ministry coming too. She said there was nothing in his room except his bed in the middle of the room. The first fruits have learned to rest and to abide in Christ through their own wilderness experience before the tribulation begins. She said, I saw Noah standing at the head of the bed with a game controller in his hand, and he was also facing eastward. Noah represents here the man-child ministers who will be anointed soon with the latter rain anointing. And that is, by the way, to rule in the earth and to lead the family into the ark of Jesus, the Word. Eve said they will have control and command just as Jesus, the first man-child, had during his ministry. And, by the way, Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, etc., etc., all these man-child ministries who had control by the Lord in them. He turned and looked at me and grinned. He seemed totally at peace, relaxed, and in control. It seemed to me in the dream that Noah's controller was directing the tornado pillars. By the way, did you remember when Moses brought the children of Israel into the wilderness and what he spoke came to pass? Yeah. Noah's controller, she said, is the power of Christ in him as his head. Well, yeah. Revelation 5 and 9, listen. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and listen, and they reign upon the earth. Now remember, we started this with they sing a new song, right? And they reign upon the earth. Who is it that is learning this new song that reign upon the earth? Well, the 144,000 man-child ministry typed here as Noah in control of the tribulation. Revelation 14 and 1 says, And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, that's the bride, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. This is great because the Greek word for name means nature, character, and authority. The nature, character, and authority of Jesus and his Father on their foreheads, meaning their renewed minds. Who's in control here? The Lord is. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters and the voice of great thunder. And the voice which I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And as they sing, as it were, a new song. There it is. They sing a new song. Praise God. Before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000. So this is the people that have the control of the earth. They're having the authority like Moses and like all these types of the man-child. Even they that have been purchased out of the earth, the scripture says. I went and curled up in a loose fetal position on my right side and began to pray and intercede for all those outside. That's outside the ark, outside the troubles, right? And she said, God's power is made perfect in weakness, and the salvation of Christ is all-encompassing and is able to meet all of our needs when we become as a little child. She was in the fetal position, right? And we know 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he hath said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The church is going to be made weak, politically weak, physically weak, etc., etc., in the coming time. But that's when the power of God is going to take them. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, For he was crucified through weakness. We too must be crucified through weakness. The old flesh can't rule. You can't let it rule. Yet he liveth through the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him through the power of God towards you. I had my eyes closed as I was interceding, and had a vision of the first tornado, which is the first year of the tribulation, as it passed through the living room from north to south. Jeremiah 4:6 says, Set up a standard towards Zion. Flee for safety. You know, Zion was the one place, Zion the bride, was the one place that escaped the Assyrian beast when it conquered all of God's people and brought them into bondage. The bride escaped, just like in Song of Solomon, just like in Esther. The bride escaped because she was in the king's house. Set up a standard toward Zion. Flee for safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. In other words, you want to escape the tribulation? It isn't by flying away. That's not historical. It's not fitting any type. It's just totally wrong. Yeah, it's by abiding in Christ in the ark. It's by being in the bride. She said, But the tornado became transparent as it touched the mobile home and passed through, causing no damage without even shaking the mobile home. It passed right through it, and it did not bother it because it's a spiritual thing. You know, the ark of safety, abiding in Jesus, the Word, the secret place of the Most High, as Psalm 91 calls him, preserves the faithful even while it is still on the earth. And it passed right through because they're spiritual. They're heavenly. I was amazed that I could hear its intensity but could feel none of its physical effects. Would you like to be there, saints, in this coming tribulation? Psalm 46:5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at the dawn of the morning. Oh, hallelujah. Those who abide in Christ will not be shaken. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where is that? In Christ Jesus. We're not talking about flying away to heaven. We're talking about abiding in Jesus Christ, which puts you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything is provided there, saints. Even protection. Proverbs 11:4 says, Riches profit not in the day of wrath. So many people are spending their money for something that's not going to save them. No physical thing can save you in the tribulation, because this is God's tribulation. He's seeing to it. He's putting the church through this. He's the one. You can resist men, but you can't resist God. But righteousness delivereth from death. There it is. Righteousness delivereth from death. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. This is just, saints, you want to get prepared? Get holy. Repent. Turn from your sin. Do it now. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the treacherous shall be taken in their own iniquity. Romans 2:5 says, But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to every man according to his works? Well, you want to know what the tribulation's about? It's about spankings for those that are walking in the flesh, to cause them to repent and turn to God and get back under the blood and search for truth and not listen to their false leaders and their false religions, but come out from among them and be separate. Amen? We are the church, which is what? The called out ones. The Lord is calling us out of dead religion. When He called His disciples and He called them His church, He called them out of the false denominational sects of Judaism. And now, they were a type for us, and He's calling us out from among them to be separate. What does He say if you don't come out? Well, He said He was going to bring judgment on Babylon. Come out of her, lest you partake of her judgments. Right? Revelation 18. Is that physically come out? No. It's not physically come out, as some people are preaching. They don't know what they're talking about. It's spiritually come out. Come out from among them. Be separate. We're going to preach to the whole world, saints. That doesn't mean you can run from the dangerous spots. We're going to be here to preach to this whole world. And there is a place of safety even in this. And it's that ark. Who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. Okay, this is what you're coming into. Eternal life is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the nature of Jesus Christ. You don't get the eternal life outside of the nature and the glory of Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation. Tribulation, there it is, and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Wow, saints, there is judgment coming, and it is tribulation, it is trial, testing. The Lord wants to see before the end of that tribulation who it is that's going to be in His kingdom. He already knows, but we got to prove it. And we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. Many are going to deny the Lord. Many are going to take the mark of the beast, whatever you believe that is. If you really want to know what that is, go to Hidden Manna for the End Times, the book on our site. You'll find out what it is. The mark of the beast is twofold. It's spiritual and it's physical. And if you have the spiritual mark of the beast, you will take the physical mark. You will be separated from God's people. And it will be visibly so. And anyway, if you walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the forehead and the hand, that's where the mark is. What is it talking about? The works of the flesh and the mind of the flesh. If this is you, you will take the mark. You will follow the world. You will have no faith in God. And you might even be once saved, always saved, but it won't make any difference. You will be lost. Saints, draw near to God. Do it quickly. We're seeing that the tribulation is approaching. Can I give you the day or the hour? No, just as Noah didn't know until God said to him, for yet 7 days. In other words, He was telling him what was going to happen at the end of the 7 days when the ark lifted off in the flood. Folks, now you can get in the ark. Now you can live through this thing. They that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, He speaks about. There are going to be people live through this thing, and they're going to show the glory of God. And the last enemy to be overcome is death. And that is the rapture and the resurrection. It overcomes death. But that's at the end. He said it's the last enemy to be overcome. That's after the beast and the harlot is conquered. And it's after the world becomes the kingdom of this, of our Lord and of His Christ, right? So don't you believe that all flyaway stuff ain't going to happen. It's not in the Word. There is nothing more easy to prove. Go read Hidden Manna for the End Times and you'll see it. You'll see the days exactly until the coming of the Lord after the beginning of the tribulation. And you'll see what's going to happen during the tribulation. You'll see the man-child's ministry, the reformer ministries. Everything is a repeat of the Gospels and the book of Acts, saints. It's all a repeat. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The Lord has already given us a type and a shadow. The New Testament is a prophecy of the future. Go there and you will see it. Well, Father, we ask you, Lord, to get your people ready. Lord, we know you're going to send a shot across the bow with these earthquakes. And before the beginning of the tribulation and the beginning of the man-child ministry begins. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the warning. We ask you, Lord, to get your people ready, to draw them, to cause them to run unto you, cause them to be obedient to your word, because righteousness delivereth from death, as you have taught us, Lord. So we're thanking you for doing this, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to grant repentance to those that are in rebellion against you, so that it will be easy on them, because your judgments are coming to bring your people out of religious bondage, political bondage, worldly bondage to the flesh. You're saying, come out from among them, and you mean that. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ paid the price that we might have his righteousness. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. The life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the reconciliation, Lord. Thank you for the exchange of your life for our life. Thank you that it is already done, and we can count on it, and we can believe for it, and you will do it. Because you said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. So we thank you, Father.